Welcome to another biblical thought. This is our seventh we've done this year. I want to give you a little thought about this thought that you might want to take with you called Follow After. And just bear with me. We'll just pray and I just ask, Lord, you'd help in this moment, Lord, that we might get something from thy word, and we ask that you'd bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to get your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Also, I'll read you Mark chapter 1. I want to read these two passages first of all. So in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, if you've got time to get to that particular passage, the Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." In Mark you have the same passage in verse 17 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them," that is the disciples, "Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. You know, there are some passages in the Bible, if you've read the Bible for many years, that are standout passages, and in particular when you consider these are the wholesome words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here you see Jesus say to the disciples, "Follow me," that's the first part, "and I will make you fishers of men." And it's an amazing passage if you think about it, because here the disciples followed after. It was a genuine total surrender which had a personal sovereign preference for Jesus Christ himself. In other words, they left their nets for Jesus Christ, and that's what they did. So it was a total surrender of a total preference to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they heard him say those words on the Sea of Galilee, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, and I want you just to consider, they followed him, the next bit in those passages where Jesus said, "And I will make you fishers of men," that's God's part. But here they followed him out of that personal preference to Jesus Christ himself. As believers, you know, we seem to forget that our greatest asset is Jesus Christ, is God. You know, sometimes we worry and we're concerned about things, and we look at this world and we look at where we might get our finances from, or our careers, or maybe who we marry, or whatever the case might be. And we seem to forget that as we go through life there are troubles, and we forget that really who is our greatest asset is Jesus Christ himself. When you consider of the Lord and how he's looked after you already, and how he's given you us his promises and we can follow him, I just want you to take your Bibles in contrast for a moment, and I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now Revelation chapter 2 is dealing with the church of Ephesus, and these are the seven churches where Paul had written to concerning these seven churches, these seven epistles at least, written by John, by the way, to this church. And I want you to, as you go with me to Revelation chapter 2, I want to look at this passage in contrast to what we just read dealing with the disciples. So in contrast, the chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake has laboured and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know, when you read that passage, obviously a lot of people know where the Lord Jesus Christ said there, thou hast left thy first love. Have you ever just felt that you have somehow lost your favour with God? Somehow you might think of life and you think that there was a time where you felt as though God was smiling upon your life, say more than any other time in your life, or whatever the case might be. And sometimes we can have a thought or a feeling that we have lost favour with God. Yet, by the way, that truth that we've lost favour is never true. That's the thought we have, because we are now, as born-again believers, found in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we're in his Son, which will never be taken out of, we'll always find favour with God. Amen. But the church here at Ephesus, when you look at them, there was something wrong that had happened. And what had happened, really, they had allowed what we would probably call today a commercial spirit to enter into their lives, which in some ways became in direct competition with Jesus Christ himself. If you consider the disciples, there was nothing between them and the Lord. They followed him. There was nothing in competition rather than just follow Jesus Christ, and he promised that if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Here we have a look at this church, and if you want to just break down what has happened here, we'll look at the four areas of their works, you could say, in chapter 2 and verse 3. You can see their labour in verse chapter 2. They had patience. The Bible says, and they couldn't bear, or in verse 3, notice the word in verse 3, and has borne, and has patience. The word borne means you can't bear something. Bear means to tolerate something, usually something you dislike. So there was some convictions or some things that they couldn't bear, and it seems as though what they couldn't bear was evil men, maybe. They couldn't bear the false apostles, which is correct, and all those things are true. But there were some things in their character that they couldn't bear. They did have patience. They did labour. And also, at the end of verse 3, notice that they fainted not, they stood. Yet what had basically happened, though, within all those things that happened there, they had made those things the first things. What do you mean? Well, those things in their church were the first things. Their labour became their first thing, their patience did, what they tolerated and what they didn't tolerate, and the fact that they continued striving, you could say. They fainted not, yet unfortunately those works that they had at Ephesus had become the first things. They had made these things the first things. In doing so, they had left their first love. Where the disciples show us what the first love is. And the first love that any believer should have is a total surrender to the sovereign preference of Jesus Christ himself. And there should be never anything or any work or anything that competes against that statement. When we follow after, we get the principle of making us fishers of men. I'll guarantee you, if you surrender to the Lord and you follow him as the disciples did, you will have the fruits of patience. You will labour. There will be some things you will not tolerate. There are some things we cannot bear. We do not like the false apostles or those that have this commercial spirit. And by meaning this, then we live in an age now that the commercial spirit of most churches has replaced the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to read that passage, that is in 1 Colossians chapter 1 and 2. And don't ever, ever leave the preeminence of Jesus Christ in your life. You know, there was a time where John, speaking in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, he made a statement, and I'm not sure whether those who are listening to my voice have heard this, but if you do want to go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, and keep in mind we're keeping this in context, John said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And you say, well, who were they? Well, they are believers or Christians that may have started out following the Lord Jesus Christ or whatever the case is, but they went out. And then out from us, and in a way, they went out like here to be false or proper. They went out, and they went out for a reason. They had a commercial spirit. And that commercial spirit is found in the book of Acts, where Paul warned about disciples making disciples after their own selves. Do you realize there are a lot of preachers and teachers today, all they're trying to do is just to get disciples after their own selves? Do you realize that? They don't have a genuine love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't understand the fact that we just need to have a preference for Jesus Christ and nothing else. And yet we have this commercial spirit where now you have churches who've taken this commercial spirit on, and yet they're exactly like the church Ephesus here, where John says to them, where he says, I have not somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Notice what they had lost. Remember there from whence thou art fallen. How about remembering the gospel? How about remembering all the works of Jesus Christ? Stop thinking about yourselves and how wonderful you are before God. How about start thinking about the works of Jesus Christ, oh man? Have a think about the fact that there was, have a think about his works and repent and turn back to him. That's basically what the Bible's talking about. The disciples walked after their greatest asset, which was Jesus Christ, amen. They followed him. I know they struggled, yet they followed. And it's from this we learn to labour, we learn to have patience, we learn to stand against false brethren. We need to keep the commercial spirit out of our churches. We need to keep Jesus Christ preeminent, amen. Otherwise we're going to fall into the same trap, and we're going to fall into the trap where we could lose our first love. What was it like when you first got saved, when you picked up the Bible and you read the Bible and the exciting fact of just reading the words of God like it is and thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, thinking about all of a sudden now heaven's real and there's a hope and there's a future. Have a think about your salvation and just the greatest wonderful gift that can be possibly given to man. By the way, just take this for note. When I got saved, the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. I can never understand then why others came up to me and they tried to say, well, you need to do this and this now. Well, you know, brother, I'm saved. I don't need to do anything because Jesus Christ is my Savior. Amen. And we need to get back standing on that platform again, standing on that foundation of Christ our Savior. Don't allow the commercial spirit to enter into your life or even into your church where somehow you're in competition with Jesus Christ. There are two passages of scripture you should read. You might not have time to do them now, but have a look in Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, dealing with family. That's Luke 9, 57, 62. And also in Luke chapter 14, 26, 33. There the Lord Jesus Christ gives some examples of or conditions of being a disciple, and you might want to look at them later on. Keep in mind what does come in competition between you and the Lord. Is it family? Is it friends? It's your interest, whatever it might be. But rather just have that simple surrender as the disciples had, where there was nothing between them and the Lord. Remember also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. And you can find the mind of Christ, you can find his mind on what his will is for you. If you follow him, he will bring to pass the other part that he has for our lives, and we need to keep that in mind. And of course, once we surrender, we will find our first love again, amen. And then you'll all of a sudden you find that you're no longer in bondage to the past, or you're not, or even to the present. Because now you can see Jesus Christ clearly up ahead of you. And you know there's a promise that if you follow him, he'll bring to pass what his will is. And he will also be able to do this. Well, once we do that, once we've found that love, and we get now back into the place where Galatians talks about, where Paul says, stand fast to the Ephesians, by the way. He said to them, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. How about just take this thought, follow after. And if you want to follow after, I'll give you a little thought. Make sure first things first. What do you mean? Always make sure that the preeminent one and the Lord Jesus Christ is always first. Don't allow the world or other things to cloud that out. Make sure he's always centered. Make sure you always bring yourself back to that place where you know he has you, and keep following him. And think of the great promise that he said to the disciples, and I will make you fishers of men.